So this is an amazing opportunity on this auspicious occasion of the disappearance of Jiva Goswami and also Jagdeep Pandit to speak something on them. And by speaking and by hearing of these personalities, we may develop some of their qualities. That's how it is said. When we glorify great personalities, we glorify, we appreciate their qualities. We may develop some of their qualities. Something of their potency may rub on us. And also we may attract their mercy and also the Supreme Lord's mercy as well. Because by appreciating his dearmost devotees, the Lord's heart may soften, and in this way we may also receive the Lord's mercy. So this is an attempt to say something of these personalities and to please them and also to please the Supreme Lord. So Jagdish Pandit, after his mother and father, his parents departed, his family, together with his wife, moved closer to Navadvip. In fact, the family moved right next to the house of Jagannath Mishra. So Jagdish Pandit and Lord Gauranga were neighbors. Some years later, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Jagdish Pandit to to preach Krishna consciousness in Nilachal, in Jagannath Puri. And it is said that he did an amazing job. He did a wonderful job, and is described as a very dense, heavy rain cloud, that he poured Krishna consciousness everywhere in Jagannath Puri, to everyone, whomever he would meet, whomever he would have exchanges with. He gave them Krishna consciousness as instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So sometimes, or specifically in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a verse which says, Jagdish Pandit is the savior of the world, because he did this job. Of delivering the residents of Jagannath Puri and following these instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very sincerely. Jiva Goswami is the youngest of all the six Goswamis. He came a little bit later, much more later than the other Goswamis to Vrindavan. He was the last of the Goswamis to come to Vrindavan. And therefore, there is little information, or there are not so much descriptions of Jiva Goswami in the earlier biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, we do find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the latter pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami is mentioned, but only in relationship to the other Goswamis. So there's not much other than several verses of Jiva Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Amongst the Goswamis, he is known as the Goswami who has compiled many literatures. He is known as a prolific writer amongst the Goswamis. In some places and in certain times, he is described as the greatest scholar that India has produced. In one place, Srila Prabhupada says that Jiva Goswami is the greatest of all scholars amongst our acharyas. Prabhupada says that devotees are philosophers anyway. They are great philosophers. But the greatest of philosophers amongst the devotees is Jiva Goswami. In the Vaishnava Toshini of Sanatana Goswami, it is said that Jiva Goswami appeared in 1513 and he concluded his pastimes in this world in 1598. However, in other places and other saintly personalities, other scholars say that he was born in 1511 or 1512, not 1513. Why do they say this? Because there is an instance in 1513 where Lord Chaitanya meets Sanatana Goswami, he meets Rupa Goswami for the first time, and also Anupam, these three brothers. And Jiva Goswami is obviously the son of Anupam. So, in this meeting, there is a description, in this first meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has with the Rupa, Sanatana and Anupam, in this description there is a mention of Jiva Goswami being there as a child. So then how can he be born in 1513? So some saintly personalities, some scholars say he must have been at least a few months old, or at least even a few years old. So therefore he must have been born in 1511 or 1512. Like this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur later on, he says that when Sanatana Goswami in his Vaishnava Toshini mentions 1513 that Jiva Goswami is born, this is an approximate date. Right? It's not an exact date. This is just to give us an idea. Because in those days, they didn't really used to record births. Right? They didn't have birth certificates and so on. So they would usually go by prominent days or birth of other great personalities at that time. So therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this was an approximate date, right, that Sanatana Goswami gives of Jiva Goswami's appearance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also meets these three brothers very soon after that for the second time in Prayagraj or Allahabad, which is about 500 kilometers northwest of Calcutta. And probably about 400 kilometers west of Ramkeli, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met these brothers for the first time. So somehow within that year, all these brothers made their travels there. And then also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also there in Allahabad, Prayagraj. So they meet here for the second time. And Jiva Goswami is also described to be in there as well. And it is said very soon after that, the father of Jiva Goswami, Anupam, passes away. So he must have been just a few years old when his father passed away. And he was naturally very distraught as a child, as a young boy. He was very overwhelmed. He was overcome by lamentation. And at this time, it is said, he resolved to renounce the material world and the cruelties of the material world. So therefore, at this time, he started delving deeper into the scriptures. And also to attain spiritual enlightenment so he can renounce this world and the cruelties of this world. So from a young age, he started studying the scriptures, he started learning the scriptures, he started memorizing the scriptures and the verses. And even at a young age, he became a great scholar. It is said he became a very prominent logician. He became an expert in grammar. And also he wrote wonderful poems, even being few years old. At the pretext of visiting his ancestors, ancestral home, because his mother didn't want him to go anywhere. He was still a young man. Mother was on his own. So at the plea of visiting his ancestral home, he in fact ended up being in Navadvip. He wanted to see Navadvip, he wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So when he came to Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya was not there, he was in Nilachal at that time. But somehow he managed to see and meet Lord Nityananda. And upon having the darshan of Lord Nityananda, he was overwhelmed with various ecstatic symptoms. He started offering various prayers, glorifying Lord Nityananda. And then ultimately he said, you are unlimited personalities. How can I even attempt to glorify you and attempt to glorify your qualities? But I know for sure that you are my spiritual master. And without your mercy, even though for 100 lifetimes one worships Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, one will not attain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by your mercy only, I'll be able to attain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please give me your mercy, so then I can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I can develop love of God. So Lord Nityananda, being pleased by this young man, Jiva, he decided to give parikram of Navadvip and take him to all the holy places of Navadvip and also to meet all the great personalities of Navadvip. So it is said this was the first Navadvip parikram that took place. And imagine being taken on parikram by Lord Nityananda himself. Right? So first he took him to meet Srivas, took him to his home. And of course this is the place where the transcendental kirtans would go on. All the intimate associates of Lord Gauranga, right, would be engaged in ecstatic kirtans there. And wonderful pastimes took on, wonderful exchanges that happened there. So this was the first place that Lord Nityananda took Jiva to. And then, together with Srivas, he took Jiva to the home of Lord Gauranga, where he had the darshan, Jiva Goswami had the darshan of Mother Sachi. And he received special blessings of Mother Sachi. Mother Sachi specifically, it is said that he said to gave some specific words. He said, may you become an eminent propagator of Gauranga's messages in this world. So Mother Sachi specially blessed Jiva Goswami. Then it is said that Lakshmi Priya, the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, personally cooked for Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami savored the foodstuffs that was cooked by Lakshmi Priya. And of course he was joined in this amazing honoring of prasad, honoring of these wonderful foodstuffs by Lakshmi Priya, by Srivas Thakur, by Nityananda Prabhu and other great personalities. He also was introduced to Vamsi Vadan, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then it is said that Vamsi Vadan personally took Jiva Goswami to take darshan of the deities of Jagannath Mishra, Lakshmi Narayan. And then, after Lord Nityananda taking him to the various places in Navadvip, meeting all the other great personalities, Lord Nityananda instructed Jiva Goswami that before you go to Vrindavan and be with Sanatan Goswami, be with Rupa Goswami, I want you to go to Varanasi or Banaras. And I want you to learn under Madhusudan Vachaspati, who is the disciple of none other than Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was known as the most renowned scholar at that time. Right, and who had personally debated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda specifically instructed him to go to Vrindavan because he said that Lord Chaitanya said, this is your family home. Vrindavan is your family home. Already two of your uncles are there and you should go to Vrindavan. So it's interesting that Lord Nityananda didn't say, go to Jagannath Puri and go and see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, no, go to Varanasi first and then go to your family home, Vrindavan. And then serve under the six Goswamis, headed up by Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So in this way, then Jiva Goswami makes his way first to Varanasi and studies under Madhusudan Vachaspati. And it is said that very quickly he learns the scriptures. Specifically the Vedanta Sutra, he becomes an expert. And the first book he compiles on the Vedanta Sutra is a commentary, which is a commentary on the other acharyas on the Vedanta Sutra. Right? Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, they've written commentaries on Vedanta Sutra. So, Jiva Goswami gives a commentary on those commentaries. And then, when he reaches 20 years old, his mother passes away. And then, having completed his studies under Madhusudan Vachaspati, having developed some reputation as an eminent scholar in Varanasi, he makes his way to Vrindavan. He also had deities, Krishna Balaram deities. And it is said that although he didn't have the opportunity, or he wasn't instructed to go and see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw these Krishna Balaram deities as non-different from Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And it is said that he would regularly have dreams of Krishna Balaram, right, and also Krishna Balaram being non-different from Chaitanya and Gauranga, and then engaged in various pastimes. So he makes his way to Vrindavan and is greeted by all the Goswamis, as well as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is there as well. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is there. And he's especially welcomed by Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. They're very happy, they're exceedingly happy that now the young nephew has joined them. And all the Goswamis, they're getting older now. They're thinking, now this young Goswami, this Jiva, will give a form, will give a structure to this Krishna consciousness movement. Right? Will elaborate on the teachings and the books that we'll compiled. We'll finish off and conclude on the works, the various temples, the various holy places, like the excavation of Radha Kund. So it is said, when it came to Radha Kund, there were many personalities that were involved in establishing Radha Kund. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, then Rupa Goswami, and then Raghunath Das Goswami. In fact, Raghunath Goswami was involved in getting the financial support and the land and so on and so forth. But it is said that Jiva Goswami was the one who actually carried out the work of establishing and concluding the works of Radha Kund. So in this way, all the Goswamis, they were exceedingly happy now Jiva Goswami is here and is going to continue on what we have started. Some days later, after being in Vrindavan and staying with Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, he approaches Sanatana Goswami to become his guru, his spiritual master. He seeks diksha from him. But Sanatana Goswami, in his humility, he says, I am not qualified. Rupa Goswami is more qualified than me. He's more of a scholar than me. And you're also very learned in the scriptures. Please approach Rupa Goswami. So then, he approaches Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami is also very reluctant. If Sanatana Goswami is already denied, who am I to initiate you? Who am I to accept you as my disciple? But Rupa Goswami engaged him in various services, various menial services. He would engage him in preparing paraphernalia for his deity worship. He would get him to beg alms for him and to arrange bhoga for the deities. He would also engage him in research work for the various literatures that he was working on, and especially the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Also, he would get him to get the palm leaves and the ink together for Rupa Goswami to compile his various literatures. And of course, also, out of his way, Jiva Goswami would personally serve Rupa Goswami, massaging his feet, fanning him, and so on and so forth, especially in the summer times in Vrindavan, it gets very hot. So while Rupa Goswami would be compiling the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Jiva Goswami would be fanning him, bringing him water, and so on and so forth. So for a long time, Jiva Goswami served Rupa Goswami in this way. And then Rupa Goswami was overwhelmed with his service and accepted him as his disciple. And then gave him more works on his literature and also encouraged him to write his own literatures as well. Sometime later after this, there was a scholar, Rupa Narayan Saraswati. He happened to come to Vrindavan. As he'd been traveling all over India, he'd be defeating various scholars, various pundits, various even Vaishnava personalities to establish himself as the foremost scholar. And he had heard about Rupa Goswami and also Sanatana Goswami as being great scholars. So far he'd been going around all over India except the eastern part of India and also the Vrindavan area. Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki. So he was thinking that if I can also conquer northern India and eastern India, then I'll be the foremost scholar in India, if not the whole world. If I can have a duel with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, because in that region, they're known as the most eminent scholars. And he had this paper, right, and he would get various scholars to sign after he had defeated them, that yes, he has defeated me, you know, like that. So he went to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, and out of the humility, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they're like, maybe you made some mistake. We're not so much of scholars. And yes, we've heard about you. You're an amazing scholar. We don't want to go on this debate. We accept you as a great scholar. Because Rupa and Sanatana Goswami are thinking, we have so much work to do. Lord Chaitanya has given us instructions to establish many things in Krishna consciousness. So we don't even have a moment to waste. Right? So yes, you're a great scholar. Whatever you heard is not true about ourselves. We're not scholars. We don't know anything. Right? So then Rupa Narayan Saraswati was thinking, right, how can I be sure? Right? And what would people think if I didn't have a jewel with them and then still call myself as the preeminent scholar in India? So he said, if you don't want to debate with me, please sign here that you have been defeated by me. Right? So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, without any hesitation, without any reluctancy, said, yes, Rupa Narayan Saraswati has defeated us. He's a greater scholar than ourselves. So later on, as Rupa Narayan Saraswati is traveling in Vrindavan, he also hears of Jiva Goswami from the residents of Vrindavan. Now, just as Rupa and Sanatana are great scholars, Jiva Goswami is also a scholar. Jiva Goswami is his nephew. Right. And some residents of Vrindavan were saying, in fact, Jiva Goswami is a greater scholar than Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So until you have defeated them, right, you cannot be recognized as the foremost scholar in India or the world. So you must duel with Jiva Goswami. So then somehow he finds Jiva Goswami and presents this paper to Jiva Goswami. Look, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami have defeated. In fact, they were not even willing to debate with me, knowing me of my scholarship. They immediately signed here. Right? Saying that they've been defeated by me. So Jiva Goswami, to protect the reputation of Sanatana Goswami and his very own spiritual master Rupa Goswami, he didn't have any other motives, right? And also later on, of course, people will be reading and hearing of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, so there should be no blotch on their lives. And really, truly, they are the best of scholars. So in this mood, he said to Rupa Narayan Saraswati, I'll debate with you. And therefore, on the banks of Yamuna, for 7 days, they debated. And it is said on the 7th day, Jiva Goswami utterly defeated Rupa Narayan Saraswati. In fact, demolished him, embarrassed him, to such an extent that very quickly Rupa Narayan Saraswati left Vrindavan, never to be seen. And thinking he had done some service, not great service, some service to his spiritual masters, he went to Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, specifically Rupa Goswami, and he said to them that I've defeated Rupa Narayan Saraswati. And he was thinking that he would get some acknowledgement. He wasn't looking for appreciation. He would get some acknowledgement. But in fact, Rupa Goswami became very angry. He said, what have you done? Why have you wasted your time in debates? Why have you wasted your time with this scholar? Didn't you know that we just let him go? We signed his paper. We didn't want to waste time with him debating. Why have you wasted your time? In fact, you're a premature renunciate. You don't have renunciation. You're too much angry. You're passionate. And you are not fit to live in Vrindavan. You are not fit to be in the association of the residents of Vrindavan. You must immediately leave Vrindavan. How can you enjoy in the defeat of others? You're a sense enjoyer. I don't want to see you. You must immediately leave Vrindavan. You're not qualified to live in Vrindavan. You're not qualified to have the association of the saintly personalities of Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami took this to heart. Right, I'm an offender to my spiritual master. I'm a sense enjoyer. I'm a premature renunciate. So he made his way out of Vrindavan. And he took shelter of a place outside of Vrindavan in Mathura, and he started living inside a big tree, apparently in a hollow of a tree. Sometimes trees can get very big, right? Especially, for example, banyan tree. I remember when I was young, I used to play around banyan trees. We used to play hide and seek in the banyan tree. That's how big the banyan tree was. Right? So Rupa Goswami took shelter of a big tree. Jiva Goswami in the hollow of a tree. He lived in the hollow of a tree. He lived very simply. He took a vow of eating only once a day. And he would constantly be repenting his offense onto his spiritual master. He intensified his Krishna consciousness, his sadhana. And for days, he carried on like this, fasting, living very simply, barely eating, barely drinking water, and feeling very remorseful. Sanatan Goswami is known to do parikrams of Vrindavan. Right? So somehow, as he was doing parikram of Vrindavan, he heard from the residents, the local residents, that there is this austere, saintly personality. And he's so austere that he's living in a hollow of a tree, he's living very simply, not eating much, and always engaged in sadhana. So Sanatan Goswami thought that I must get some association, I must hear from this great personality. Who is this great personality? So then he came to see this personality, and when he saw Jiva was almost unrecognizable. He was completely emaciated, barely having any clothes on his skin. Still, he was somewhat recognizable. He says, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? What's happening?" And he said, "I'm a great offender of Rupa Goswami. I'm a great offender of my spiritual master." So like this, he spent 1 year right in seclusion, Jiva Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami pleaded to him, "Come back. Come back. Come with me." He said, "I'm a great offender, and I can't come back. Of course, this great offense went to Rupa. I have displeased Rupa Goswami." I'm a sense enjoyer. I'm not fit to live amongst the residents of Vrindavan. I'm not fit to enter Vrindavan. So I must continue living like this until I see death. So obviously Sanatan Goswami is worried what to do. So then he approaches Rupa Goswami. And he says to Rupa Goswami, you are very clear in terms of the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are speaking on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are writing books on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu you are not following. Right? He says, of course, because of your prolific writing works, you are compassionate to the living entities. You are doing Jiva Doya. Right? You are always chanting the holy names of the Lord. You have taste for the holy name of the Lord. Namaruchi. And Rupa Goswami say, and as he was kind of going through the teaching, Rupa Goswami said, Jiva Doya. I'm not doing Jiva Doya, Sanatan Goswami. And then Sanatan Goswami just left it at that. Sanatan Goswami said, you're doing everything except one instruction. You're not following one instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Rupa Goswami, being very intelligent, understood. I am not being merciful to Jivas, and specifically Jiva Goswami. So it is said that immediately he wrote a letter, right? And in that letter he pleaded for Jiva Goswami to come back. And he said to Jiva Goswami, I understand that you're trying to serve your spiritual master. You're trying to protect our reputation like this. And forgive me for being angry. Forgive me for having a go at you. You're very qualified. Please come and join us again. And by this letter and by the plea of the Vaishnavas, then Jiva Goswami reunited with Rupa Goswami and the other Goswami he came back to Vrindavan. As time went on, and other Goswamis were now getting very old, some of them even concluded their pastimes in this world, Jiva Goswami started to become more and more prominent. Actually, as he compiled many literatures, as he brought about many pastimes, places of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Krishna, and as he also kind of concluded and as he kind of worked on and crystallized the works of the Goswamis, so he's becoming the foremost personality in Vrindavan. And he started to become famous all around India. And it is said at that time, many great personalities came to visit him. One of those great personalities, saintly personalities, was Mirabai. Mirabai also came to see Rupa Goswami and they had sweet exchanges, discussing the pastimes of the Lord, discussing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Janma Mata, the wife of Lord Nityananda, consort of Lord Nityananda, also claimed to bless Jiva Goswami. Janma Mata was joined by all the other associates of Lord Nityananda and also the great personalities of Bengal and Jagannath Puri and so on and so forth. So they came to see and also bless Jiva Goswami. And it is also said, Akbar, right, who was known to be the most tolerant of the Mughal emperors, he also came to see Jiva Goswami as well and get his association, get his blessings. And it is said, personally, Jiva Goswami took him around Vrindavan. So just like Lord Nityananda took him around Navadvip, Jiva Goswami took Akbar around Vrindavan, and it is said Nidhiwan, a particular place in Vrindavan, the most where the most intimate pastimes of Krishna go on. Akbar was taken by Jiva Goswami there as well. And as Jiva Goswami was describing the pastimes that took place in Nidhiwan, it is said that Akbar was overwhelmed by ecstasy. And he had vision of Radha and Krishna in this place. And at that time, Akbar said that I'll support you. I'll support you in all your works. And therefore, particularly it is mentioned that Akbar was involved in bringing about four temples, Radha Gopinath, Govindaji Temple, Radha Madan Mohan, and also Radha Damodar. And Jiva Goswami also sought support of Akbar in establishing a library of all the works of the Goswamis as well. So then afterwards, Jiva Goswami, after establishing the library in Vrindavan, he wanted that the works of the Goswamis should also be, you know, go to the other places as well, and specifically to Jagannath Puri, to Bengal, the eastern part of India. So then he inspired Shamananda Pandit, Narottam Das Thakur, and Srinivas Acharya, right, to take the works of the Goswamis in carts, right, in carts, and you know, these carts would have various chests full of various books of the Goswamis. So in this way, he was also an inspiration in terms of books going to other places of the Goswamis. So you could say this was like the first instances of book distribution, you know, like that, in our history. It is said Rupa Goswami had a dream, and in this dream he was inspired by Krishna to come up with a form just like him. Right? So it is said that personally Rupa Goswami carved a form of Krishna as he saw in the dream and as Krishna instructed him. And this form of Krishna then came to be known as Radha Damodar. Like that. So then these deities became, for the latter part of Rupa Goswami's life, these deities became his worshipable deities. Rupa Goswami, in conclusion, Rupa Goswami compiled more than 400,000 slokas on Sanskrit, text in Sanskrit. Together, that's about 25 books he compiled. Right. So what we can do to conclude the class, and before we take questions, and maybe some of you have some corrections or comments, or maybe something I missed out, we can kind of go through the list of books he compiled. Right? Some of them are prominent and very important for us. So at least if we get to know them, maybe in the future we can have some opportunity to delve into them. So here are the list of the books that he compiled, the 25 books. Harinamamrita Vyakarana, that's his first book in this list. So this was a book on Sanskrit grammar, but it was a very special kind of book, and it was a very mysterious book, because someone who would take up to this book, it is said that they would become devotees, undoubtedly. Because how would Jiva Goswami elucidate on Sanskrit grammar? By telling pastimes of Krishna and by using the names of Krishna, the various names of Krishna. So this is Harinama, Mrita Vyakrana. Then Sutra Malika, second book. Third book, Dhatu Sangraha. Fourth book, Krishna Archadipika. So this is a book which gives specific details on worship of deity of Radha and Krishna. Fifth book, Gopala Virudwali. Sixth book, Rasamrita Sheshakalpa Briksha. Ninth book, Bhavartha Suchaka Champu. Tenth book, Gopala Tapanitika. 11th book, Brahma Samhita Tika. So this is his commentary on the Brahma Samhita. 12th book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Oh, his commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it's entitled as Bhakti Rasamrita Shesha. Then Lochana Rochani. So this is his commentary on Rupa Goswami's Ujwala Nilamani. Then you have 14th book, Yogeshwara Stavatika. So this is his commentary on Padma Purana. 15th book, Gayatri Bhashya. So this is his commentary on the Gayatri Mantras. The details of what the Gayatri Mantras mean and how they're connected with the various pastimes of the Lord. 16th book is on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, describing the beauty of the feet of the Lord and also the various markings that are there on the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's the 16th book. 17th book is description of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, just as the previous book was on the description of the lotus feet of Krishna. The 17th was on Radharani. 18th book, Gopal Champu. Right. So this is the book where he describes the pastimes in detail of Krishna. The first part of this book is pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. The second part of this book is pastimes of Krishna in Mathura and in Dwarka. And then we have the remaining seven books, right? These are said to be his most important books, the most important works of his most important contribution, the Sandarbhas, the seven Sandarbhas. Yeah. Starting off with some, we have the sixth Sandarbha, but there's the seventh one, which is Krama Sandarbha. What is Krama Sandarbha? This is his commentary on the 12 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And then we have the other six Sandarbhas. And these Sandarbhas, it is said, they give perfection of Abhideya, Prayojana, and Sambandha. Right, so if one wants to know how to become perfect, right, in their prayojana, how to become perfect in their abhideya, right, and also sabandha, then these books are to be studied, the sandarbhas, right. So the first of the six sandarbhas is tattva sandarbha, yeah. So here it is said that through the Srimad Bhagavatam, he proves the absolute truth. Or he establishes the Supreme Lord through the Srimad Bhagavatam, through Tattva Sandarbha. Then we have Bhagavat Sandarbha. Here he makes a distinction between Brahman and Paramatma. And he also describes Vaikuntha, the spiritual worlds. Then we have Paramatma Sandarbha. Here he gives details on Paramatma and also how Paramatma is there within every every living entity, millions and billions of living entities. And then Krishna Sandarbha is there. So here he describes Krishna and his pastimes and establishes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there is the Bhakti Sandarbha, right? So here he speaks about the process of devotional service, right? And then there is the Priti Sandarbha, right? And here Prema is being spoken about, love of Godhead is being spoken about, like this. So in this way, these books kind of sum up to something like 400,000 verses and total in number 25. Right, so this is his foremost contribution in terms of to the Vaishnavas, right, and to the Krishna consciousness movement. So I think we can stop here. Breakfast will be soon, but just before that, if anyone has any questions, comments, any corrections, anything to add? Yes, Antaranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you for asking questions and making contributions at the right time.
Thank you so much for the very nice presentation. Sorry, I haven't heard that, sir.
Yes.
My question is actually quite simple. It's nothing connected to any tattva or anything. It's just, when we read these great works of these acharyas, I'm just would like to hear your opinion. How do we as a practicing sadhakas in ISKCON should approach them? Because what Prabhupada established, you know, is still plenty. Yachitya and Charitamrita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, and varieties of other works. So how these works of the acharyas and their respective commentaries fit in into our day-to-day life as a practicing sadhaka. So yes, there are sandarbhas, yet there's teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There are many, many volumes of works of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So how we can we create certain priorities, or how we can approach these works and how we should digest them? Hare Krishna.
I think the first challenge is for the devotees to take up to reading and sufficient reading. That's the first challenge of the devotees. We take vows in terms of chanting our rounds. Yes? We may take certain other vows, right, in front of the spiritual master. And then spiritual master may also give us some specific instructions. Right, but hardly we make vows or we take vows on studying and reading scripture. So then in a devotee's life, usually that becomes kind of like the last thing on their list. So first thing is, as well as chanting our rounds, as well as doing our service and our preaching, are we doing enough reading? Right? Prabhupada said one time that you're distributing my books, but you're not reading my books. These books are meant for you. Right? These books primarily are meant for you. Another time Prabhupada would say, if only you can understand one word of this book, right, your life will be successful. You can attain love of God. Just simply if you can understand one word of this book. Right. Prabhupada would say, you should be reading 4 hours a day these books. Yeah? Sometimes he would say, at least 1 or 2 hours a day. So most Vaishnavas, most of us are struggling. Right? With this reading of books. Yeah? This studying of books. Somehow, we've got to first make that a priority. Yeah? and not just kind of tick, I've read this book, but really try to understand, really try to contemplate and see how to apply these books. Preach what's there in these books. So, the foremost concern for the Vaishnavas should be reading rather than what books to read. Yeah? That should be the foremost concern. And especially when we're preaching from these books, when we're reading, when we're studying, and we're thinking about what is being said, that will also help us to preach. And then when we're preaching also helps us to understand further. Yeah? So that's the idea. That should be the foremost priority. And we should start off with Prabhupada's books. Yes? And then unless you are confident, and confidently say, yes, I know Srila Prabhupada's books. I know them inside out. Right? And I'm applying them in my lives. Then one should not move to the other personalities. Unless that confidence is there. Yes, sometimes we may choose to refer to the other acharyas to try to understand something, to try to get a different angle on it. So then we can apply. Right? But to kind of go into the other acharya's book, we should not attempt them, we should not approach them unless we actually gone through Srila Prabhupada's books. And it should be with the blessings of senior devotees around us. It should be with the blessings of our spiritual master. We shouldn't be just jumping onto some esoteric book and then read those and, according to our own whims, try to kind of understand them and apply them like that. So this is the progression. This is how we should approach the works of the other acharyas in our line. Is that okay, Antrangabu? Okay, I think we should stop here unless someone has anything. Okay. Sorry, who is that? Okay, Jagannath Sutta Prabhu. One and then we'll stop. We'll definitely stop, yes.
Just a real quick one. I never came across that he stayed in a hollow of a tree.
Yeah.
Many of us found sources that it says that he stayed in an abandoned crocodile hole, right?
Cave, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 miles north of where Rupa Goswami stay. Yeah, that's an interesting... Probably there are different sources, right?
Yes. So, when it comes to Jiva Goswami, and when it comes to really any of the Goswamis, they're very humble, right? So they requested various personalities not to say anything about them, not to glorify them in every way, anyway. Right? So in that way, whatever we get is limited in the first place. Yeah, there are two prominent works which give some insight into the life of Jiva Goswami. First one is Prema Vilas. This is by Nityananda Das. Yeah, and Nityananda Das is disciple of Lord Nityananda. I don't know if Lord Nityananda gave him that name, right? Or yeah, how he came about. But Nityananda Das, disciple of Lord Nityananda, and he compiled Prema Vilas. So he gives some description of Jiva Goswami. And then there is Bhakti Ratnakar of Narahari Chakravarti, right? And Narahari Chakravarti is in the line of Srinivas Acharya, disciple in the line of Srinivas. So both of these personalities have written something, and then there's something from Sanatan Goswami, Vaishnava Tosani, yeah, and then there's some verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that. So because of these different personalities, and their kind of knowledge of Jiva Goswami and their research of Jiva Goswami, so there is some differences like that. And then sometimes also there may be more than, they may be talking about also another pastime. Like for example, there is a pastime of where Jiva Goswami has an interaction with Sri Vallabha Acharya. Right? And then there is this discussion about bhukti mukti spriha pisachi. There is this discussion. Because Jiva Goswami is going to Sri Vallabha Acharya and he says that, how can you... Vallabha Acharya has a doubt. How can you say mukti is a pisachi, is a witch? Because mukti is a dearmost servant of Krishna, right? And to achieve mukti is not an ordinary thing. So Vallabha Acharya has this doubt. So then Jiva Goswami says, actually Rupa Goswami is not saying that bhukti or mukti is a witch, especially mukti is a witch. Jiva Goswami says that the spriha for mukti, the desire for mukti is a witch, not mukti is a witch. Right? And why witch? Because just like a witch is said to kind of cause distraction, cause disturbances. When one has this desire for mukti, then this is a disturbance and distraction to the devotee's spiritual life, to the devotee's spiritual progress. So there is this also pastime described as well. He said, but I couldn't find specifically where it was. Right? So therefore there are other pastimes where there may be some overlap, or there may be some different pastimes as well, like that, because your various personalities have kind of tried to write something on Jiva Goswami, say something about Jiva Goswami, him being the foremost personality in our line. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Jiva Goswami ki, Jagdish Pandit ki. Jai.